every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 33rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. Always great to have Matt on the program. I'll tell you, Matt, with the baseball playoffs, college and pro football going on, are you buried in sports right now?
Oh, you bet. Plenty of football and loving the baseball. Here's, should be fun.
There's plenty of news to talk about this week. Lexus is sending its seminal sedan off into the sunset with one last hurrah. We'll tell you about that. Our electric vehicle sales going to go off the cliff this month with the end of the federal tax credit. We'll tell you what General Motors and Ford plan to do to keep that from happening, and we'll offer our comments on their little gambit there. Jeep is recalling more than 100,000 vehicles for an unusual problem. We'll tell you what it is and what vehicles are being affected coming up. Tesla is under fire from two U.S. senators, and we'll have our take on that. And what's your take on what's going on in the electric vehicle market, Matt?
Well, there's a lot. You know, with the subsidies going away and a lot of changes going on in the industry right now, we haven't seen a flood of affordable vehicles, EVs, yet. There are some, like the Leaf is just coming. I think that'll be the true test of whether or not this will be here. But it's, you know, the optimism is almost turned to pessimism overnight on the EV market.
Right.
It's really remarkable to see the level of the public discourse.
We'll talk about that at length coming up. America on the Road is, of course, brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Driving Today, of course. As you longtime listeners to the show know, Matt and I are North American Car of the Year juries. We've been friends and colleagues for decades. And what's your test vehicle this week, Matt?
This week, I had the opportunity to drive the Toyota Corolla Cross, which is their small SUV, in both natural hybrid, just a plain-up hybrid, and gas versions.
Yeah, look forward to that. My test vehicle this week is the all-new 2026 Acura ADX. Our special guest this week will be Matt DiLorenzo. We're going to talk about what's going on in the electric vehicle market and so much else. So we're so glad you're with us. Stay with us because we have tons of show coming up on America on the Road. It's exciting to have you with us, Matt, and I think we've got a lot to talk about here. So stay with us, everybody.
It's going to be an action-packed show, as they say.
Absolutely. That's we're all about action. We're men of action. That's for certain. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Now, our office computers were from, like, 2012.
What? They had computers then?
Yeah, I don't know much about new tech.
Apparently.
So I went to Staples and saved big on an AI-powered HP laptop and HP OfficeJet Pro printer, which also came with 3 months of free Instant Ink.
And we're back in this century. During Staples HP Tech Event, save up to 35% on HP printers and up to 40% on AI-powered HP PCs.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. Until 11-1, select models only.
Let me tell you about this new pretzel cheddar club.
Hey, I'm Carlos.
And I'm Ebony.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club
is the tangy Dijon with the pretzel bun. It takes it to a whole nother level.
It goes perfectly with the chicken and the cheddar cheese and the bacon.
Man, you know how much you love bacon. And I love the different varieties, grilled, spicy, the original. It gets you nice and excited for fall.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with cherry berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Kohl's Cash is turning 20, and to celebrate, Kohl's is giving you the gifts. All month, you can enter our sweepstakes for a chance to win $200 Kohl's Cash. Plus, get epic deals on cozy favorites, home must-haves, and more right now. Yep, we were gonna throw a party, but this is better. Cue the confetti and the savings at Kohl's. Offer ends September 28th. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Sweepstakes ends September 30th, 2025. No purchase necessary. 20 winners per day. Limit one prize per person for entire sweepstakes. See Kohl's.com for official rules and details.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back to America on the Road with guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. Jackie Red back with you. Chris is ill this week, so Matt fills in so capably. It's great to have Matt on the show. And Matt, I want to talk about the Lexus LS 500 in this case. The Lexus LS was the seminal Lexus. I mean, you and I date back to when it was introduced. I certainly remember when it was introduced. I was editor of Motor Trend at the time. I've got some stories about that I could tell you at another time, but Lexus is now sending off its flagship sedan with a tribute model, the 2026 LS500 all-wheel drive Heritage Edition. Just 250 units, that might be enough. Mono-spec luxury sedan. What's your overall take on the demise of the LS?
It really is a landmark, really. When they came into the market, they were going after the luxury car market, and nobody expected the Japanese to succeed. And they did it. And they did it through high-quality, precision-built, quiet, just really well-built automobiles. And they did it at a price point that scared the bejesus out of their competitors. I remember talking to people at Cadillac and even Mercedes and places like that. And the Lexus came out, and it was easily $10,000 less than the competition. And
that's when $10,000 was real money, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And they stuck with that sedan, and it's really... one of the things that's really interesting is how the market itself has changed. That a full-size luxury sedan is no longer the marker in the luxury market. It's an SUV now. So, the fact that it stuck around for so long and did so well is a tremendous testament. I mean, the question is, they're saying it's the final edition of this LS. Let's see what they have in the future. I don't know. Toyota could have something up there. Lexus could have something up their sleeve.
Sedans are going to be around for a while. Sedans are probably more popular, or are definitely more popular in other markets than they are in the United States. One of the things that interested me about this is this Heritage Edition is going to have a 3.4-liter twin turbocharged V6 engine, 416 horsepower, a lot of torque. But it's a V6 engine versus that V8 that was so strong and so capable in the original LS and kind of set it apart from so many. What's your take on this?
Well, I think it's really a testament to how the market has changed. I mean, there still are V8 engines and people want those things. But twin turbo V6s have shown to be eminently capable. And when you get into a car like the LS, you're looking for quiet car with plenty of performance and just seamless operation, and a V6 delivers that.
Yeah, I mean, 0 to 60 time at 4.6 seconds, I think, is pretty impressive. And it has a lot of tech in it, of course, and a Mark Levinson audio system, and head-up display in color and all that kind of stuff. Plenty of tech and safety tech as well. But at the same time, as you mentioned, the luxury market is really an SUV market. I mean, a luxury market in the United States is all about SUVs, is not about big sedans. And so we're going to see this one go away for a while. Jeep is recalling Wagoneers and Grand Wagoneers. More than 123,000 Jeep Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer SUVs are being recalled over concerns that loose window trim could detach while driving. I mean, that's not something that jumps out at you. It's, oh, this is going to happen. We're going to have window trim fly off. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said the recall affects model years 2022 through 2024. So these are fairly recent vehicles. And these trim pieces just fly away, and they're a danger, I think, more so to other cars than other vehicles than they are to the vehicles that they're falling off of. Your thoughts on all this?
It's a real throwback to the 70s, because I remember driving cars that weren't particularly well built.
Right.
And trim would fall off all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess this is not the kind of throwback. They don't build them like they used to. Well, I guess they're building them like they used to in this instance. But like they used to isn't all that swell. So we'll see what happens with that. A kind of oddball thing. This is a story I really want your comments on, Matt, because it's fascinating to me. General Motors and Ford have a new EV incentive strategy. They want to soften the blow about the expiration of the federal EV tax credit, which just expired at the end of September. And a report is that both of these automakers want to extend the subsidy, and this is kind of a tricky way that they've decided to do it, is they have their captive finance arms, quote-unquote, buy these vehicles, thus making them eligible for the tax credit, and then extending that tax credit to people who actually buy them, consumers who actually buy them in through leasing. Who leased them, I guess, is really the way to access this. This apparently has been cleared by the Internal Revenue Service, but it sounds pretty hinky to me. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
The thing is, I wonder if their competition is doing the same thing, because, you know, there are a lot of foreign-built EVs that weren't eligible for the tax credit, but this is one way they could get around it, is by leasing them, turning them into leased vehicles. I think it's genius, because what it's doing is it's incentivizing all the vehicles that they built that are on the ground and are unsold. And it's a big boost for the dealers. I think it's a win-win as far as I'm concerned, because it'll help clear out those stocks, and it'll help soften the blow in the transition from the incentives to a non-incentive market. So I'm all for it. I think that this will allow a lot of people to at least try out EVs in a very affordable way. And that's one of the things I've been recommending, is that if you're going to get an EV right now, lease it, don't buy it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have a little bit of a different take on it. It sounds like, just sounds like it maybe adheres to the letter of the law, but certainly doesn't appear to the spirit of the law. But I kind of understand that, a lot of dealers and a lot of car makers have a lot of EVs that they'd like to move, and they thought they could move with some federal help, and now it's not going to happen.
Well, there was a big spike in EV sales before, because everybody knew of the looming deadline. So this is a way to avoid having all those cars sit around on the lots for, 6 months.
Yeah, which would undoubtedly happen. Yeah. I think we've been warned about that by more than one car maker. Let's talk about this thing with Tesla. Two U.S. senators, Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, have suddenly put out a letter chiding Tesla for its self-driving technology, saying it fails to detect railroad crossings properly. I think this is kind of bizarre in many ways. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration got this letter from these two senators. A couple of things I would ask about. Number one, where were these guys looking at this full self-driving problem 2 or 3 years ago when Elon Musk was donating money to their party and not to the opposite party. They are looking for restrictions on full self-driving and forcing Tesla to change its system's name. We have kind of criticized Tesla for this for a long time on this program, but I think these guys are a little bit late to the party. What's your take on that?
I agree. I think it's up to the NHTSA really to take the lead on a lot of this technology and the systems, because they're the ones in charge of national highway traffic safety. It's in their mandate. It's just political posturing on their part. I don't think anything new is going to come out of their investigations. I don't have any confidence that Congress has the technical ability to sniff this one out. So it's politics.
No. Yeah, and that's what I've got to believe it is too. Well, when we come back, we will be road testing a couple of cool vehicles. Remind us of the vehicle you'll be road testing, Matt.
I'll be driving the Toyota Corolla Cross, which is a really nifty small SUV.
And I'll be driving the 2026 Acura ADX. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to America on the Road with Matt DiLorenzo. This is Jack Neal. So glad you're with us. And it is road test time. And Matt, you just came from an event, I think, in Northern California, the wine country, where you were driving.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both airline and hotel with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Matt DiLorenzo. This is Jack Meade right back with you. We're so glad you're with us. And it is road test time. And Matt, you just came from an event, I think, in Northern California, the wine country, where you were driving the all-new or heavily revised Toyota Corolla Cross. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the 2026 Toyota Corolla Cross is a small SUV. And it's only 3 years old, but they did sort of a mid-cycle refresh on it. And one of the things that they were wanting to do was to differentiate the hybrid from the gas version. The gas version's cheaper. It starts under $25,000. You can get it in front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. And it's really a terrific, it's a terrific little vehicle. I mean, it's got, it's right size for small families, empty nesters. It's very affordable. It gets decent gas mileage. The thing about the hybrid version, they differentiated the looks of them. So the hybrid version has more of a high-tech kind of road look to it, whereas the gas version looks a little bit more rugged, a little bit more off-roadish. Both of them, when they allowed us to drive off-road with them, with the all-wheel drive system, performed quite well. We drove up actually a pretty steep hill, got to the top, and it was surprising how well these two performed, because a lot of these SUV, crossover SUVs are, they call them, you know, almost fake SUVs because they're not really heavy-duty off-roaders. But these, you know, if you want to camp and get back on a trail, perfectly capable in doing that. The hybrid I was particularly impressed with. It starts at under $30,000, and that includes all-wheel drive. It gets an amazing 42 miles per gallon. So if you're looking, if fuel economy is a big concern, the extra $4,000 that you have to pay for the hybrid system is well worth the money. You'll get it back in gas savings with it. Very quiet, very competent on road. I just think it's a terrific little vehicle. And I think they've been, you know, when I first, I think we both drove it when it came out about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it came across to me as nice, but not great. You know, it was hard plastic, stuff like that. There seems to be more soft touch materials, much better soundproofing. I was really impressed with the level of fit and finish and build quality.
Interesting. Yeah, I did like this vehicle. It's a vehicle I think that is really done well in the marketplace. It's not necessarily a favorite of vehicle testers or enthusiasts like you and me. But I always thought this is a winner. This makes so much sense to have a small SUV like this in the Toyota lineup. It just jumped out at me as being a really good idea.
You know, they're capacity constrained on it, so they can get maybe about 100,000 out of this plant that they share with Mazda in Alabama. During the press trip, they were saying, well, they're working on trying to make the line a little bit more efficient. They want to boost it, you know, by at least 10 or 20% the output, but they're selling every one of these that they can build. So obviously, they found a niche in the marketplace. They can build about 100,000 or so a year. And it's a terrific vehicle for somebody who's wanting to get into an SUV. You know, the next step up, you're going to be paying at least 10 grand more, like to go up into a REV, a decently equipped RAV4. So it really fits well in the line and carries the Corolla entry-level vehicle name quite well.
Yeah, I think as the RAV4 has gotten to be a little pricier, and I think it's still one heck of a value. In fact, two of my daughters drive RAV4s, so you know, that's how much we like it in the NEREV family. But you know, this fits right under the RAV4 and provides a lot of the same kind of value, I think, reliability and all of that, and reasonable fun to drive. It's not a ton of fun to drive, frankly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing about these vehicles is they make it easy to drive. And the people who buy these cars want a vehicle that's easy, comfortable to drive, good steering feedback. So they hit all their marks on there. Now, you know, the gas-powered one only puts out maybe 170 horsepower, so it's no road burner by any means. You get into the hybrid and you're pushing 200-plus horsepower well over 200 horsepower, almost 300. And it's really a nice, it's a great vehicle for all-around driving, and plus you get the all-wheel drive. So if you're in the snow belt, you get that confidence of having the all-wheel drive as part of the package. So it's a terrific vehicle. And you can load it up. You know, you can get a panoramic sunroof, and you can get a larger, 10.5-inch center screen. And there are a lot of bells and whistles available on it. But even the base ones come fairly well equipped with a lot of the safety, blind spot warnings and those types of things.
That's where I think the ton of value is toward the bottom of the lineup there, because you can, I'm sure you could load this up and it'll be $45,000 or something like that, which is an awful lot for a vehicle of that size. But I think toward the lower end, as you say, tons of safety equipment and you get a good powertrain. It just works really, really well.
Yeah. It's a terrific vehicle. And I think that they're going to have continued success with it. The question is, how many more will they be able to get out of that Alabama factory?
Right. Yeah. Kind of whip those people into building more vehicles there. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the 2026 Acura ADX, which is the compact premium crossover. It's below the RDX in the Acura lineup, and it's also a contender in our North American Car of the Year that both you and I are jurors of. It's built on a front-wheel drive-based architecture, as you might guess, coming out of Honda. Optional all-wheel drive. Designed to attract buyers who are looking for premium features in a smaller, more affordable package. I think a lot of people who wade into the market after 4 years go, hey, wow, the vehicle I bought before is really expensive. Can I get something that's about the same cost or same monthly payment? And they're having to step down a little bit. The vehicle I had was in A-spec with advanced package form, so basically the top of the line. Tons of technology, comfort, and driver assistance features. The base price of this vehicle is about $42,000, and the as-tested price was almost $47,000. So not inconsiderable sum for a vehicle of this size. It has the Acura signature design elements, including the Pentagon grille and the LED headlights. A-spec treatment gives gloss black accents and dark finished 19-inch wheels, which are pretty cool looking. LED fog lights. Panoramic moonroof is standard on this trim. So it's a good looking vehicle. I think they've done a nice job with that. I mean, what's your off-the-cuff take on ADX?
You know, I really like it a lot. I drove it a couple of weeks ago. And it's based on the Honda HR-V, which is the smallest one, but it looks bigger. I mean, I was like looking at this thing and I'm like,
well, the HR-V is pretty big when you look at that. Yeah.
But the CR-V has grown, the RDX has grown in size. So that, I think if somebody comes out of an old RDX, they're not necessarily going to feel particularly cheated with the ADX, because it is a substantial looking vehicle. I love the styling. One of the things that really just kind of impressed me was when you're sitting behind the wheels, you can see these character lines on the top of the fenders. So you really get a sense that there's a nicely styled front end out in front of you, as opposed to a lot of these cars you get into and it's just like, you're looking out over a flat hood and there's nothing there. So it has a tremendous amount of style, great features. I love the bucket seats in that thing. They were so comfortable. And, it just had everything that you would want. And buttons.
I love buttons, and I love buttons.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that, too. But first, I want to talk about the powertrain, because I think this is where it's lacking, Matt. I mean, it's a 1.5-liter, 4-cylinder, turbocharged engine, 190 horsepower, 179 pound-feet of torque. I'll tell you, there's other vehicles in this class for the same money that have 50 more horsepower. that have a lot more torque. So I think that's a little unusual. I'm kind of surprised at that out of Acura, especially in A-spec trim. It has a continuously variable transmission, not exactly our favorite typically as enthusiasts. So it works fine, but, you know, it's not... It has faux shifts. You can use paddles to make fake shifts. So it has that going on with it. And I guess to the ADX's detriment, I guess, I was just coming out of a Genesis GV70 that is about the same money and has a lot more horsepower and has a much more luxurious interior. I was also, let's talk about... the infotainment system here, too. I mean, the good news with the infotainment system is they've gotten rid of that trackpad interface that Acuras have had. At the same time, it only has a 9-inch touchscreen, which I think in this day and age is kind of small. What's your overall take on the infotainment system?
Yeah, they've gotten better. I mean, at least you have a volume knob, which,
small victories.
Yeah, small victories. In terms of the overall package, I found the drivetrain unobtrusive, and I felt like this thing was more like a luxury vehicle rather than a spirited. I didn't want to go out there and charge into corners or things like that. Now, maybe with the RDX you will, and maybe the expectation should be with the A-spec that it should have a little bit more edge to it. I grant you that. I just found it very pleasant to drive.
Yeah, I think you're half full on this, and I'm half empty. And
yeah, exactly.
I think it's a good vehicle. I think there's a lot to look at here, ADX, and I applaud Acura for doing this, but I would also recommend that people look at the competitor when they're in this market, because there's a lot of choices there. So look at that, and when we come back, we'll have a special guest whose name is Matt DiLorenzo. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. Cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at JohnDeere.com.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hey, want to hear something great? Right now at Wendy's, you can get two of the number one selling bacon cheeseburger in all fast food, the JBC, plus medium fries and a medium soft drink for just $8. Want to hear something else great? Double the burger means double the bacon. Now that's a game changer. Two of the number one bacon cheeseburgers with fries and a drink for just $8. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Request $8 JBC meal deal to obtain discount. Individual items at regular price.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Redd back with you with our special guest and co-host, Matt DiLorenzo. Matt, of course, is the author of a great book on EVs called How to Buy an Affordable Electric Vehicle, a Tightwad's Guide to EV Ownership. I think I got that title right, Matt. Right. And a terrific book. Certainly, we have come to what I think is a watershed moment in the industry, right? We've passed the point where the tax credits for EV purchase have gone essentially away now. I guess we reported in the show maybe some moves by some manufacturers to retain them for a while. We'll see what happens with that. But what's your overall take here? I mean, there's a lot of predictions that EV sales are going to go off a cliff, and maybe I'm on that team.
Well, there are a lot of dire predictions, and they're just as dire as those predictions are. I'll be a little more counterintuitive. I didn't believe the predictions when they said we're going to go all EV either. So, you know, this is the moment of truth. I mean, EVs are going to sink or swim on their own merit. The costs have to be in line to where consumers are willing to buy these things. And that's been the elephant in the room with the whole debate. You know, you have with policymakers putting their thumbs on the scale, of course the manufacturers are really going to push EVs. Now that the thumb has been removed, it's up to consumers. Now, the manufacturers have invested a lot of money in these, and they're like Ford has gone through an abortive attempt where they spent $5 billion and now they're doubling down on that. And now they've understood that, yeah, we can't be building $90,000 electric pickup trucks, which are kind of not relevant. And we need to build affordable EVs. Well, that's, if you're going to build a market, that's where you got to, you know, that's where you have to put all your time and resources. So we'll see. We got a lot of affordable EVs coming out. You know, we have the Leaf just rolling out. People are going crazy over that Slate truck, which is going to, you know, supposedly start at about $27,000. GM is promising to bring back the Bolt. The proof will be in the pudding. What is the acceptance rates of these vehicles? What is their role in the transportation fleet? And their success will be on their ability to compete against gas-powered vehicles on a level playing field. And
on their own merits,
the better
yeah.
technology win. We'll find yeah. out.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely 100% for that. May the best technology win. I think the better technology won 100 years ago when we went to gasoline vehicles versus electric vehicles around 1910, 1915.
Sure.
And largely... And I'm being a bit facetious there, but largely the issues for battery electric vehicles haven't changed since then. I mean, range and the cost of the batteries and the charging of the batteries, those are three major issues that really haven't been solved in the last 110 years or so. And it doesn't look, we always hear that somewhere off in the future, that will be solved. You know, we'll get solid-state batteries. Batteries will be much less expensive. And it just hasn't happened. You're an absolutely close observer of this. Where do you think this is going?
Well, you know, it will just hinge on consumers finding a place for EVs in their fleet. They're not going to have all... Some people may have all EVs, but they may have a home with a home charger. That's the ideal situation. There's still a lot of people who live in apartments. A lot of people live in condos, don't have access to home charging. They will be more candidates for hybrids. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But it's not going to be 100% one way or the other. It's going to be a blend from ICE vehicles, all pure ICE on one end of the spectrum, hybrid, plug-in hybrid, through pure EVs. And I think EVs could... conceivably, in a free market situation, account for maybe 25-30% of the market.
When? I think they're going to account for 5% of the market in 2026. That's my prediction.
Sale. Yeah, I agree. But I think we don't have a lot of affordable ones out there. There are applications for people to want to own them. And I just think that if they're able to drive a little bit more costs out of them, yeah, some people will. I mean, I think the Leaf at $30,000 with a 300-mile range is going to be a seminal vehicle in terms of EV acceptance. If that thing flies, and if they've never been able to sell a lot of, you know, I think the highest sales was somewhere between 15 and 20,000 units a year. If they can crack that level with the Leaf, then I would say, yeah, maybe they have a shot at you know.
Well, I'm kind of hard-pressed. You know, I like the Leaf, and I think the new Leaf is going to be just fine, and more range is good, I guess. But at the same time, it doesn't really answer the major problem. One of the major problems, of course, is cost. And the reason we don't have very many affordable EVs is you can't make an affordable EV that does what a gasoline-powered car does. It doesn't have the utility. It's not as easy to use. It requires more lifestyle flip-flops and changes than most people are willing to put up with, I think, which is why we see hybrids gaining prominence. I also think we're seeing hybrids gaining prominence because a lot of very popular vehicles are hybrid only these days. It makes sense to add that technology that isn't very expensive to get that added fuel economy and added benefits. What's your take on that?
On the hybrids?
On anything. Anything I said there, because I said a lot there.
I just think that, you know, and I own an electric vehicle, and it meets all my needs. And it's not costing me an arm and a leg. But I'm rare. It's a hatchback. It gets 150-mile range. I have a plug-in hybrid as a second car, so I'm perfectly satisfied. And if I got another electric, I would like maybe 100 miles more range. But again, it's the battery cost when you do an apples-to-apples comparison of like ICE versus EVs. EVs are going to be, at best, $4,000 or $5,000 more. And there are a lot of rational people who won't spend that money because just they want to have an electric vehicle. Now, some people might spend that money because, A, I don't want to pay $5 a gallon for gas in California. I can charge at home, and I don't drive very far. So, you know, people own golf carts for the same reason out here in California. Right. So, I don't see that. Now, another thought that just occurred to me too, you know, there are a lot of these pro EV people saying, well, you know, some people wanted to hang on to their horses and buggies, and they didn't want to make the transition to, you know, gas cars. And it's the same thing with EVs. Well, no, because back in the day, we weren't making horses that ate less and polluted less with each year. Horses didn't get better. Horses didn't change. ICE technology continues to evolve, and that's going to be the tell on EVs, is that yes, EVs will get better, but so will ICE cars. They you know, you see now a lot of them can get over 30 miles per gallon without a hybrid system. And with hybrid, it pushes that up, you know, near 50 miles per gallon. So,
right. And the range from these vehicles, and of course, they typically have unlimited range, but hybrid vehicle, many of them have 600 miles of range or something like that before you have to fill up. And then, of course, you can fill up in 5 minutes as opposed to charging. Fast and if you're lucky, a charging time of, you know, 30 minutes to heaven knows how long. When you are using a public charger, how long does it typically take you to get a charge
with my car, it has such a small battery, it'll take less than an hour to get a 90% charge. But the other thing is, I had an EV9 or something like that, and I went to public charging. I was paying 73 cents a kilowatt hour. I pay 26 cents at my home. So do the math. I mean, it was a $60 fill-up of this 300-mile range EV. So where people say, well, electricity's cheaper, it just depends on where you get it and how you use it. And it's not demonstrably cheaper. The beauty of ICE technology is that you can get by with just one vehicle. The thing with an EV is that its role is better spent as part of a fleet in a family's home.
Where yeah, as a second car or more. Exactly. And then it would work wonderfully well. And exactly. I think that's the situation exactly. you're in. And, you know, I could see my wife who, you know, goes to Costco and Trader Joe's and those kind of things, and Target. I mean, that's kind of her trio of places to go, all within just a few miles of us. An electric vehicle that we plug in at home would pencil for us, maybe. But then you have to consider that it would probably cost us $5,000 to rewire our home to have a home charger. I don't know how long it's going to take to get that to work out.
Yeah. Again, that's another expense. Sure, that's another expense. So, you know, and we'll see how this happens. You know, I think the problem, we've been whipsawed back and forth so much just over the last 5 years about internal combustion engine bans, and everybody's going to go all electric, and this is going to happen by 2025, and this is going to happen by 2030, and by 2035, this is going to happen. And it takes much longer to evolve these technologies and these changes. And I think that we're going to end up with all of the above. And yeah. And I think we're going to see a lot more hybridization than we have in the past. But again, the manufacturers are going to build the cars that the public wants. And
I'd like that to happen. I'd like the government to keep its thumb off the scales in any way, shape, or form that it's doing. And one of the unintended consequences of electric vehicles here, or the electric vehicle mandate in California, the state in which you and I both live, is $5 a gallon gas. And largely that is coming because we're not building refineries in here. Who would invest in an oil refinery in California or even improve a current oil refinery, given the government stance of we're going to get rid of all gasoline-powered car sales in 10 years' time or something like that? I mean, comment on that, because I think there are unintended consequences to all these stances that people are taking.
You know what? I think they're intended consequences until it costs somebody political power. And I think one of the reasons they have such high taxes here in California and have jacked up the rates. And, you know, there are two things happening. One, yes, we do have unique conditions out here that need to be addressed from a pollution point of view, and I understand the fuel standards and all that, but the hostility to fossil fuels on the part of the government has driven up the prices, and that's intentional to try and drive people into EVs.
Well, and it turns out to be hostile to the people who live in the state,
right?
And because there is no way that lower income people are going to find an electric vehicle useful to them. Many of them live in multiple family housing. There's no way for them to plug them in. They'd have to use public charging. They're much more expensive than the typical car. It's just a bad idea all the way around.
Right. The other thing is that we've moved beyond California trying to solve its own pollution problems. And I think the place where they overstepped and created the situation we have now is that they tried to impose these standards and getting rid of cars and going all electric on the rest of the country.
And
now they're feeling the pushback from that. And they only have themselves to blame. So we'll see what happens.
We will. And when we come back, we will have a listener question. So stay with us and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with guest co-host Matthew Lorenzo. This is Jackie Redd back with you. It is listener question time on the show, and we love to get your questions and comments. We want to hear from you. Send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And I have a question for you, Matt. Kind of an interesting one from William in Stowe, Vermont. This is what William has to say. I have an older Subaru Outback that's coming up on 100,000 miles, and I'm wondering, should I get my timing belt replaced preventatively?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because, you know, if you do have a timing chain problem, it's going to cost the same whether you replace it now or when you have the problem. So, no, I wouldn't. Would you?
Yeah. Well, the first thing to look at is whether you have a timing belt or a timing chain.
Yeah.
Because they're different. And I think you have to go to a much older Outback than maybe William is driving. He didn't give us the model year to find one with a timing belt. Those need to be replaced about 100,000 miles or something like that, and probably worth replacing because you might lunch your motor if they give way. Timing chain, much less likely, but should be inspected. Would be my recommendation here. Check out that timing chain if that's what you have in your Outback. And
you can also go on forums too. I think that their great owner forums are a great source of information.
Absolutely true. That wraps up our show for this week. Matt, remind us of the name of your book and how folks can get it.
It's How to Buy an Affordable Electric Car, A Tightwad's Guide to EV Ownership. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's websites, and then through my website, tightwadgarage.com.
Look for that book. It's terrific. And I know you have a new book coming out fairly soon, and we'll talk about that in an upcoming show. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. We have links in the show notes to that, so check that out. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And of course, America on the Road is available as a podcast on all the top podcast outlets. So we have YouTube and Rumble channels, so check those out. You're going to be able to see what Matt DiLorenzo looks like and what I look like. He looks better than me, that's for sure. We have shorts on our YouTube channel these days. And thanks, Matt, for being our guest host. You always are so capable doing that. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, Jack. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show, and thanks to you for listening. We do appreciate it. We know you have a lot of choices, so thanks for listening to America on the Road, and join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.